Okay, so here he is. It was just him. Great long pole he carried for balance. The rope was apparently 3¼ inches across, so I thought plank was about right. Does it look scary? Okay, yeah. Okay, only one way down. So, let's see, did he make it? So, having got safely across, to the delight of the 10,000 plus crowd who were watching, he then did it about 300 more times. No, it's okay, don't worry. However, he then decided to do something even more ridiculous. So here he is. Oh yes, perhaps I'll show you that bit. Here we go. The rope was that long, that high. That's an actual photo of him, apparently. He then decided that he would do it with someone on his back. He didn't have the pole for this bit. Put the pole down. Here you go. Oh no, he didn't. He did have the pole, sorry. He did have the pole, I lie. There he is. So would his volunteer, his manager, like to come forward? Be a shame to have to go to hospital in the middle of it, wouldn't it? Okay, so on you get. Okay. Just before you go, apparently, sorry, is that bad? If you've got half a mile to go, you know, it's going to take you a while. Okay, apparently before he set off, Blondin said to his manager, who's called Harry, by the way, he said, "Look up, Harry. You're no longer Harry. You are Blondin. Until I clear this place, be a part of me, mind, body, and soul. If I sway, sway with me. Do not attempt to do any balancing yourself. If you do, we will both go to our death." Okay, so it's no problem. Okay, are you ready to have a go? Ooh. Oh, no. Ooh. Too tricky? Don't have to do it if it's too... Oh, fast. Yes. Ooh! Great. Fantastic. You can just pause for a second. Thank you. So imagine for a moment that Blondin and Harry got to the middle. And rather than going as quickly as they could to get to the other side, just think how ridiculous that is. It was quite difficult for you guys to walk across a little plank. Can you imagine? Anyway, right, imagine that they get to the middle, a quarter of a mile in, and Harry goes, stop. I'm going to get off now. Thanks for bringing me so far, but I think I'll walk the rest on my own. Did you think that'd be a good plan? No, okay. It would be so ridiculous, wouldn't it? Okay, let's give them a clap. We'll let them sit down. Well, that is the kind of foolishness that Paul is levelling at the Galatian church for listening to the teaching that these dodgy Jewish teachers have brought. One translation of the Bible starts, "Dear idiots, have you been put under an evil spell? Had someone cast the imperio curse on them? After starting so well, why on earth had they decided to move from what Paul had said and try and add something more to the gospel?" The Galatians had become Christians by believing in Jesus. Did you hear what Paul said at the start of that reading? "Here is what we know. No one's made right with God by obeying the law. It's by believing in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus. That's so we can be made right with God by believing in Christ." They'd been made right with God. That's what the phrase justified or being made righteous means. And they did it by trusting in Jesus. It was Jesus who did all the work. They just had to hold on to him and what he had done for them. Just like Harry and Blondin, to get across Niagara Falls alive, Harry had to trust completely and hold on tight to be one with him. All he had to do was to hold on and be one. Paul had taught the Galatians that it was like that becoming a Christian. My thing doesn't like me. There we go. We have to hold on to Christ so tightly that when God looks at me and at you, he sees, I have been crucified with Christ. I don't live any longer, but Christ lives in me. Now, that's how the Galatians had started their Christian journey, but now they were trying to add in doing things themselves, keeping Jewish rules and regulations, as if they had to be Jewish in order to be properly Christian. It was as if Harry had stopped in the middle and said, right now, I'm going to get off and walk the rest of the way myself. And so in Galatians 3, the second half that we heard, Paul points the Galatian Christians to two solid bits of evidence to make sure they can see why their decision to add something to the gospel was really ridiculous. So the first piece of evidence was their experience in verses 1 to 5, and then the second piece of evidence was the Jewish scriptures, the Old Testament, in verses 6 to 9. So I'm going to look at these two sections, but in the reverse order, first of all, with the Jewish scripture bit. So it probably isn't going to surprise anybody that Paul argues his case from the Bible. And Paul goes right back to Abraham, the father of the whole Jewish nation. And he says actually that it was Abraham who was first made right with God by faith. Just the same as the Christians are now. People have always been made right with God by faith. Not by keeping rules or doing things. It's been that way right from the beginning. Paul quotes Genesis 15. Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Or as the version we heard said, Abraham believed God. God was pleased with Abraham because he believed, so his faith made him right with God. And although God does go on to tell Abraham later that he and his sons need to be circumcised, it's really important to notice the order here. God declares Abraham to be right with him first, long before he's circumcised. Now, I'm not going to unpack the whole of chapter 3 today, although I do encourage you to go home and read the whole passage. And if you do, you'll see that Paul quotes loads from the Old Testament. There's about 11 quotes from the Old Testament in the next 10 verses. And Paul goes on to say that not only is Abraham right with God because of his faith, there's another 430 years of history to happen before God gives the Ten Commandments and all the rest of the laws to Moses. So people can't possibly need to keep all those laws in order to be right with God. God's way has always been faith and trust, not keeping rules, not doing religious activities. So however good or upright those things might be, and lots of them are great, they do not make us right with God. We simply can't walk that tightrope alone. So what's the big idea for us here? Well, I think maybe the challenge for us in this bit is how well do we know the Bible? Do we know what's in there? We do need to understand the big story and see what the big picture of what God is doing across the sweep of history. We need to know how it fits together. We need to have a grasp of the main themes that come up throughout the book. If we don't, then when people approach us with ideas that sound like they might be right, and they back them up with verses from the Bible, but we're not quite sure if they are the right ideas or not, well, we're not going to know if it does make sense with the whole of the rest of the sweep of Scripture, and it truly fits in with what we learn about God elsewhere. See, the Bible is a story. Anybody here like stories? Definitely me. I love stories. And it's not a textbook or a rule book, although there are rules in some places. It's actually a storybook. So it's not like you can just think, I need the answer to this question, and it's just the answer is right there on page 402, section 5.3. It's not like a sort of going into law and reading rules like that. That's not how it works. The biblical story unfolds as God works with real people in real time. Understanding develops. Truth becomes clear. Just because God tells somebody right back in the Old Testament, sort of 1,000 years before Jesus is born, that he wants them to do this, doesn't necessarily mean that he wants us now to do the same thing. He might do, but he might not. And the only way you're going to know is if you understand how the whole thing fits together and what you're being asked or told fits into the big story. So that's our first challenge. How well do we know the Bible? Have we got a bit complacent with the bits we know and not worry about the bits we don't? Are we hungry to grow and learn more? Our Old Saints logo, you see it's got three words down the side there. Learning is in there. It's one of the three things that we think our church is about. I wonder how each of us is doing with that thing of learning. If you don't know where to start at all, I highly recommend actually the Bible Project that we looked at a couple of weeks ago. It goes through not just individual books of the Bible, but also big themes, overviews, really helpful website with all sorts of things that you can watch. Or if you prefer the old-fashioned media, I've got a couple of great books here that I'd be happy to share with you. And you can see the different things, ways that we can investigate God's word and find out the big story. So let's have a little moment for me to stop talking and for you to do some talking. A couple of questions for you to turn on your table and have a little chat about. How do you feel about the Old Testament? Love it, hate it, confused, ambivalent? Have a little chat about that. What has helped you in your understanding so far, if anything? What specific things would you like help with understanding a bit better? Pick a question, all of them, one of them. I'll give you 3 or 4 minutes to have a little chat around your tables. Can I draw you back together? We'll let you carry on talking in a while. So that was the first piece of evidence that Paul gives them to think about. And then he turns to the second piece, which I promise I'll be a bit briefer on. So he talks then about their experience. Actually, could I have Blondin and Harry back up here, please? So before we actually got to the bit where the manager agreed to go on his back. So I reckon that for quite a long time, the manager would have just stood there watching carefully. Okay, yeah. And I did tell you that Blondin crossed about 300 times, but what I didn't tell you was that, manager, you could hand things to Blondin from the wheelbarrow behind you. A blindfold, that's a hat that you can just put over. So we did it blindfold. How's this going? Yeah. Oh, look at that. Awesome. Oh, nearly got wet feet. Okay, brilliant. Okay. Quickly, you can just walk back for this one because I don't have this. A sack. You did it in a sack. Yeah, a sack. Like, how do you... Of course, I don't even want to go. Okay, then he must have put the pole down because the next time he did it with a wheelbarrow. The whole wheelbarrow, yeah. Yeah, the whole wheelbarrow. The next bit you need in a minute. That's that. Okay. There we go. Yeah, really, sorry. So he crossed the tightrope with a wheelbarrow. I see a doddle. Doddle. That's better with a wheelbarrow. And then finally, he crossed with a cooker. I haven't got the stove bit, but also a frying pan. And he sat down in the middle and made an omelette and ate it. Yeah, you can... I haven't brought any eggs with me. You're going to have to mime that bit. You're an actor. Oh, awesome. Shh, fantastic. Brilliant. Yay, woo! You'll be pleased to know that I couldn't find any stilts, because apparently he also did it on stilts. Now... All the while that Blondin was doing these ridiculous things, my guess is that Harry was watching quite closely. And he was deciding whether or not it would be wise to go with this insane piggyback idea. But once he'd seen all the other ridiculous things that Blondin had done, maybe it actually really helped him have confidence when it came to going across on piggyback. We won't make you do it again. Thanks, guys. The local circuses are probably hiring. You're good. Okay. Now, Paul says something pretty similar to... Oh, look, there we go. There he is with his dinner and stuff. Look at that. Madness. Thank you. So Paul says something pretty similar to the Galatians. He tells them to remember what they've seen already with their eyes. So when they're trying to work out what to believe, what have they already experienced? He says, did you receive the Holy Spirit by obeying the law? Or did you receive the Spirit by believing what you heard? Verse 5, I ask you again, how does God give you his Spirit? How does he work miracles among you? Is it by doing what the law says, or by believing what you've heard? Isn't that interesting? Paul does tell them to reflect on their own experience of God, on what God's already been doing in their lives to help work out what to believe. So does what these new teachers are saying, does it fit with what they've already experienced? Paul wants them to remember their own personal experience with the Spirit. Now, that does mean we need to notice that experiencing the Holy Spirit is normal and is expected by Paul's here. It's the key part of becoming a Christian in the way he talks about it in this passage. Now, we don't get a detailed description of what that actually looks like. You'll have to come back and hear the rest of the book. A bit later on in Galatians, he talks more about what it might look like. But we did notice, well, I noticed certainly, that he does talk about miracles going on here in this passage. So clearly that was going on in this case. And I wonder if that challenges any of our preconceptions or ideas about what God might or might not be doing, about whom he might or might not find acceptable. Paul encourages the Galatians to examine their own experiences as well as reflect on what the Bible tells them. The Bible and experience. Now, I wonder which you listen to more naturally. Most characters probably veer to one side more naturally than the other. Which do you need to listen to a little bit more? I wonder how the Holy Spirit is prompting each of us this morning.